You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Vikings. I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. This show is available anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, or you can simply ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings. And today, there are a couple of little nuggets that we get to discuss. So let's jump right into it. The Vikings have signed two more players in free agency, neither of them particularly earth-shattering, however. The Vikings have signed a one-year deal with former Tennessee Titans wide receiver Tajae Sharpe, who is currently second or third on the depth chart, as the wide receiver room goes. And the Vikings have also reached a one-year deal with former Lions sixth-round draft pick defensive end Anthony Zettel, and he's been a journeyman as well, traveling to San Francisco and Cincinnati most recently before coming to Minnesota. Both of these years are only 1 year, and the Tajae Sharpe deal comes in a little bit above the veteran minimum, indicating that neither of these signings will change the Vikings' priorities when it comes to the draft or the rest of free agency. And I think that's the most important thing to kind of start with here is that, yeah, the Vikings are not going to, like, not draft a wide receiver because they have Tajae Sharpe now. And I don't even think that Anthony Zettel changes their free agency plans at all in terms of what they were going to do to replace Everson Griffin. I think the best way to think about these guys is as potential role players who might not even get there if their camp goes poorly. As for Tajae Sharpe, however, I really like his odds to be like a solid contributor for the Vikings. Now, the Vikings run a ton of 21 and 12 personnel, that is to say, two running backs and a tight end, or two tight ends and a running back, leaving only two wide receivers left over. And before, that was always going to be Diggs and Thielen, but now there is one of those starting jobs is up for grabs. And I'm sure that Tajae Sharpe is more than welcome to have a lights-out camp and win the job, but I doubt that he will do so unopposed. At the very least, he'll be competing with Olabisi Johnson for positioning on the depth chart, and I would predict that they bring in somebody else, either a bigger free agent, depending on what happens with Anthony Harris and the rest of their cap space, or if they draft somebody high with one of their many picks. They have five picks right now on days one and two. As for how good Sharpe actually is, I think that he is, at least coming from Tennessee and the people who cover the Titans and the people who are most familiar with the Titans, he is, I think, reliable is the best way to put it for Tajae Sharpe. He's a good route runner. That's like where his strength lies, is in route technique and in kind of being a technician and in being very deceptive with his routes. That's like the thing that he does best. Unless you think the thing that he does best is catch the ball. He's got sticky, sticky hands. He only dropped like four passes in his last, I think, 35 games, which is an unbelievable rate. I could have gotten that wrong, but suffice it to say that he's one of the most sure-handed wide receivers in the league. He just has a very low drop percentage. He always has. The issue with Tajae Sharpe that's preventing him from being a superstar, because those two things are very important, right? He can get open and he can catch the ball. What more do you want? Is that he's always just been like an okay athlete. He is not like a burner or somebody that can like win with his athleticism. I think the difference between Tajae Sharpe and say Stephon Diggs is that Stephon Diggs had the athleticism to win and also the technique and all the stuff to, you know, turn that into superstardom. And I think that's the barrier that's preventing Tajae Sharpe from reaching that height. But what you get for Tajae Sharpe, for I think it's like a $1.3 million cap hit, it's not very much at all, you get somebody who can run a decent route and beat somebody's, you know, slot corner, beat somebody's second best cornerback on a little curl or a little slant or something and convert a third and seven. That's really what Tennessee got out of Tajae Sharpe. And I really think of this as kind of like a Jarius Wright replacement almost. And it's weird to say replacement because he hasn't been on the team in a while, but I think that he will fulfill that role for the Vikings. As for Anthony Zettel, I think that he's more akin to like a Stephen Weatherly, not necessarily an Everson Griffin at all, but I do think that he can come in and perform the Stephen Weatherly role that the Vikings lost when he went to go sign with the Carolina Panthers. Zettel has a lot of flexibility. He has a lot of bend. He is able to function as a pass rushing edge. However, in his last season, he was less efficient as a pass rusher than Steven Weatherly. But he also has the capability to loop inside, to rush from inside, and to kind of do the things that the Vikings asked of Weatherly last year. And then I think he, you know, will compete with Afadi Odenigbo. And if he has a great camp, then he gets the start or something. But I also think that that's a competition that isn't entirely, all the contestants have not quite arrived on the scene yet. The biggest issue with Zettel is length. As an edge rusher, you know, you're going to be going up against a lot of long arm tackles, and he has a bit of a reach disadvantage, which could hurt him. However, I think it was Nick Olson who posited that perhaps they ask him to put on 20 pounds and play inside, like they've done with, you know, Jalen Holmes, and like they tried to do with Afadi Odenigbo and all these guys. I think if the Vikings asked Zettel to do that, it would make decent use of his skill set. Though I always think there's some inherent risk to, you know, asking a player to gain weight and play in a position that they're not used to. Of course, there's just something like biomechanically about that that possibly doesn't work out. But I think Zettel, a lot like Tajae Sharpe, is somebody who's like competing. And I mean, Zettel has been cut from teams before. This will be his fifth team in 4 years. So I wouldn't rely on Zettel to contribute at all. I mean, it's not even a guarantee that he makes the team. And so a lot like with Sharpe, I doubt that he changes the Vikings' plans in any material way. He just provides some depth and some competition. And I think come August, we'll know a little bit more about what the Vikings expect from him. But on the whole, these two signings are two that I think can be filed away until it's time to, you know, preview training camp and roster battles, where these two guys are going to get a lot more interesting to cover. And so now for the rest of the show, you may notice that this show actually came out a little bit later in the day than it usually does. So now for the rest of the show, I have a very special guest that's going to come on and talk about some of the goings on behind the scenes. With the Vikings, it's Darren Wolfson, who has been on the Vikings beat for a long time. He's an insider that has a little bit more information than I ever would. He has more access than I ever would in terms of what's going on behind the scenes. So I've got a bunch of questions for him, and when we come back, I'll get him on the line, and we will talk about the latest with what's going on with the Vikings. Okay, everybody, we are here with Darren Wolfson of KSTP. Darren, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, all things considered, Lucas. I'm trying to remain sane. It's not real easy. I'll tell you what, I mean, not that I didn't have, you know, a lot of respect for teachers, but I have a newfound respect for teachers trying to educate our third grader and our kindergartner. My wife and I are splitting up duties on the home front. And at this point, they'll be doing extended learning. You know, I mean, they're not going back to school anytime real soon. I mean, I think best case scenario, maybe they go back sometime in May. But we know at this point, they're not going back in April. So that will be an ongoing challenge, but hey, we have our health, so I can't complain about anything.
Yeah, as long as you have that. I think that's just about what like every school is doing over Zoom or Skype or whatever. But let's talk about the Minnesota Vikings, who have been probably busier than it looks, I would imagine. You know, they've been kind of stagnant when it comes to official moves, but I imagine there's quite a bit going on behind the scenes, yeah?
Absolutely. I mean, my understanding, Luke, is they would happily take a number of free agents still sitting out there on minimum deals. You know, like look at Nickell Robey-Coleman, who went to Philadelphia. I saw the numbers. I'm not quite sure what the minimum is for him, but I think Philadelphia gave him slightly above that. Plus, I think he preferred Philadelphia anyway.
$1.3 million
Yeah. So, I mean, the Vikings were willing to welcome him with open arms, but they told him, hey, we'll take you at the minimum. You know, they've reached out on a running back, Devontae Booker. You know, I don't think they're willing to pay Devontae Booker much money, and I think he'll have better options elsewhere, you know, as time goes on. But, yeah, I mean, they've touched base on free agents. They just don't want to spend a whole lot of money. Maybe they will eventually, Luke. Like, I'm not ruling out possibilities of them spending some money, you know, but I think they want some clarity, further clarity on the Anthony Harris situation. Do they end up keeping him? If so, do they pay him on a long-term deal? Do they just keep him on the franchise tag and let this thing play out for a season? You know, do they still, you know, maybe chase Trent Williams with the Redskins? I think that's the big domino that needs to fall one way or another, Anthony Harris. Until that domino falls, I don't think you're going to see any big moves. But, you know, like you see Tajae Sharpe, you see Anthony Zettel. You know, those guys are signing minimum contracts. So, you know, the Vikings are still on the phone, put it that way. You know, it's on these agents to say, yeah, we'll accept your offer. So they're trying to do stuff, but – you know, a lot of agents figure, hey, it's March, what is today? March 26th. It's not July 26th. There's no reason to rush. Why do we take a minimum offer right now? You know, so it's a cat and mouse game. But make no mistake, Luke, the Vikings are trying to do some stuff.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the Anthony Harris thing, because that does seem like the kind of linchpin of everything going on, and then all the dominoes will fall around it. Is the holdup there that is it a holdup in like contract negotiations? Is it a holdup in trade compensation for another team? You know, or is it just that there's a whole bunch of options and they're still internally figuring out what they're going to do? You know, what are we waiting on here?
My sense, Luke, is all of the above. I think they've kicked around scenarios where they end up keeping Anthony Harris. They've kicked around scenarios where they keep him on the franchise tag. They've kicked around scenarios where they pay him pretty good money on a long-term deal, something he desires. I mean, make no mistake, more than anything, my sense is Anthony Harris wants to be a Viking and wants to be a Viking on a long-term contract. He wants to get paid.
Vocal about that.
Yeah, I think he did at least one podcast, maybe the Westwood One podcast.
Yeah, I think he went on like NFL Network and said it, yeah.
I think, yeah, maybe it was NFL Network. I think it was
Good Morning Football or something.
Tom Pelissero, yeah, podcast or whatever it was. Maybe it was on TV, but yeah, I mean, he's been pretty vocal about that, which isn't a surprise, right? Like, you're Anthony Harris. You're what? Is he 29? Did he turn 29 or is he still 28?
I do not know. I have to look that up.
But point is, this really, Luke, is his one opportunity to really hit the payday, right? Like, a lot could go wrong on a one-year deal in 2020. What if he suffers some sort of catastrophic injury? Certainly possible at the position he plays, as physical as that position is. You know, so you're putting your body on the line. So, I mean, he wants the long-term security and the big money right now. And ultimately, yeah, he loves it here. Mike Zimmer loves him. He loves everything about Minnesota. His first choice is to sign a long-term deal with the Vikings, but his second choice is to sign a long-term deal with somebody else. He doesn't want to be here. I don't want to say that. You know, he'll put on a smiley face. If it comes down to him playing on the franchise tag this year, trust me, you won't see anything publicly where he slams the organization.
He wouldn't like hold out or whatever.
No. I don't have that sense. I would be surprised. Like Dalvin Cook, which we can get to at some point. I could see Dalvin, you know, not an extended holdout, but I could see him if those, you know, talks go sideways a little bit, him not being there the first day of training camp. You know, but with Anthony Harris, no, I don't have a sense that he'd be willing to do something like that. Although it's fluid. I mean, maybe things change in that regard, but no, but I'm just telling you, Luke, pecking order wise, you know, like him playing on the 1 year franchise tag is at the bottom of
it's the last thing he wants.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But yeah, I mean, I can just tell you, I've said this on Score North, the radio outlet that I provide commentary for and fill in on, is that I know there's an NFC team that has engaged the Harris camp in contract talks. I don't know for sure who that team is. I can rule out some teams. I just don't know for sure who that team is. But I also know the Vikings have talked long-term contract parameters with them. So I'm just telling you, there's all sorts of different scenarios.
There's all kinds of moving parts.
Do I think the Vikings have interest in Trent Williams? Yeah, undoubtedly. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the next thing I was going to ask.
Yeah, and Egan. So, like, if you move Harris, then presumably you're finding a way to bring in Trent Williams. And I saw his agent came out and said what I said a couple days ago when people were tweeting me saying, he wants $20 million a year. Did you see that ESPN.com report? I said, no. Trent Williams and his representation is realistic, Luke. They're not getting a trade and getting $20 million a year. They'll get paid.
Yeah, they just don't want to be in that organization, right?
Correct. And I think he's looking for a little bit of a spike. You know, is that spike $15 million a year, $14 million a year? You know, I think he's looking for a new contract. I just don't think he's looking for $20 million a year. Like, you need to be realistic if you're Trent Williams. You're not getting a trade and getting $20 million a year.
Sure.
It's not happening. And I think one of the issues with Anthony Harris is, okay, so there's an NFC team that's willing to pay him good money, but then they don't want to give the Vikings a good draft pick. You know, they want to give the Vikings a 6 or a 7. I don't know for sure, but I can just tell you, they're not giving the Vikings a 2. You know, I don't think they're giving the Vikings a 3. Maybe I'll be wrong on that if it eventually happens. I would be shocked if the Vikings can get a 2 for Anthony Harris. Who's
right,
giving the Vikings a 2 for a safety, then paying that safety as good as he is? Who's then giving that safety big money? You're not giving up a second-round pick and paying the player a ton of money. It's just not happening.
Yeah, you're not really selling all of Anthony Harris. You're selling Anthony Harris's negotiating rights.
Correct. So I just, you know, I think it's pretty fluid. I mean, as we sit here at – at 2:10 my time on Thursday afternoon, the 26th of March. I think there's all sorts of different possibilities. I'm just telling you, I don't know what the end result will be, because I don't know if the Vikings this second, Luke, know what the end result will be. Because I'm telling you, there is a scenario where Harris is here on the one-year franchise tag. There is a scenario where Harris is here on a long-term deal. There's a scenario where the Vikings trade Anthony Harris. But I'm just saying, if they end up trading him, figure it's tied to another move. I would look at Trent Williams, but maybe there's another player out there on the franchise tag that intrigues them. But I just know that Trent Williams has fans over in Egan.
Excellent. All right. So we have to break real quick. And when we come back, I've got a whole bunch more questions for you, Darren. So everybody stick around. Okay. We are back. And I want to circle back to something that you said, Darren, about how like Anthony Harris loves to be here and that he loves like the organization and stuff, because there is a little bit of a sense that some of the fans are getting with, you know, Stephon Diggs. And there was another player that took less money to go play in Philadelphia. I think a safety, you know, with guys kind of, you know, Jayron Kearse and Mackenzie Alexander. Is there a growing like distrust in Zimmer and in his staff when it comes to the players, or is this all overblown and it's really all like a bunch of business decisions?
I think we need to go case by case. All right, let's look at the safety who went to Philadelphia, Will Parks. I can tell you from correspondence with somebody who knows Parks real well, he told me he advised Will to sign with the Vikings. So it came down to the Vikings, the Lions, and the Eagles. He told Will, you should go to Minnesota. They're offering you good money. They're not giving you any assurances. You have to go earn your time, but they really like you. And I'm telling you, Luke, they were willing to pay him nearly double what he accepted in Philadelphia. He went to the Eagles because he's from Philadelphia. I don't think it was anything negative about the Vikings. Yeah, I mean, I think the hometown won him over more than anything. And maybe some assurances that Philadelphia gave him, and the way Philadelphia, you know, uses its nickelback and three safeties on the field. I mean, I think, you know, strategically, schematically, I think he liked a lot of the things that Philadelphia was offering. You know, plus, yeah, hometown helped a lot. But I'm telling you, I don't have the sense, Luke, and I'm not saying this randomly, that it was anything negative against Minnesota. Yeah, Jayron Kearse was outspoken. He was ready for a change. Mackenzie Alexander, you can understand maybe some frustration there after they played him in Week 17 when he wasn't fully healthy. Then he has to, after that, end up undergoing surgery on that knee. You know, so like you can understand, you know, looking at his case, yeah, there was absolutely some frustration. But yeah, I'm just saying, you need to go case by case. Anthony Harris loves it here. He loves Zim. A lot of guys love Zim. Harrison Smith loves Zim. Anthony Barr loves Zim. And
yeah, he took less
Adam
money.
Zimmer. When I say Zim, I include Adam Zimmer, too, with some of these linebackers. Eric Kendricks loves it here. Danielle Hunter loves it here. Hey, Everson Griffin loves it here.
And that one's a money thing, right?
Yeah, well, the Vikings haven't really engaged him and his side all that much. You know, I don't know if the Vikings are figuring, you know, maybe they can get him on a third or fourth wave, because I think some of the hurdles with Everson, from what I can gather, Luke, is teams want to bring him in for a visit. And I get it. You know, like, he was great in 2019. You know, I think, you know, body-wise, just look at the genetics. He's got a brother that's a Mr. Olympia guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the genetics in the Griffin family are off the charts. So, like, body-wise, I wouldn't look at him as a 32-year-old rundown body. Like, he's got the body of a 25-year-old. And he had a really good 2019. But then you look at the off-the-field issues, the mental health hurdles.
So people that he's like overcome.
Yeah, he's overcome. I mean, it's a credit to Everson and others. But that he's overcome. But I can understand teams like Tampa and Dallas and some of these other teams that have interest in him saying, you know what, like, we'd like to bring him in for a visit just to make sure he's okay. So as we know, you can't do visits right now.
Right.
So the longer this thing goes on, you know, I'm not saying I'd make the Vikings any sort of favorite or anything, but you know, like, I would say this, never say never on Everson coming back. Now, if I had to bet
right now.
Even
though he posted that, you know, his goodbye and everything.
I know he did, you know, but hey, wow. Anthony Barr, we thought was a goner, right? And he ends up back here. There's other examples. If I had to bet right now, Luke, Everson Griffin lands elsewhere. Sure. I'm just saying, until the player is off the market and knowing what he thinks of Minnesota, I can't sit here and say zero chance. You just can't do it as long as he's out there. Les Pico is a name that I'm guessing 98% of the people that will be listening to this conversation have no idea who he is. If you want to Google Les Pico's name, go for it. He's in the Vikings organization. He's been a wonderful, wonderful resource for Everson, just in terms of Everson overcoming the hurdles that he has. You know, I mean, that would be tough for Everson to leave Les Pico. Not to say that he can't, but I'm just saying he really, really thinks the world of Les Pico. He really likes Mike Zimmer. He really likes Andre Patterson. I mean, when you talk to those defensive linemen, they think the world of Andre. They are so happy that Andre is now co-defensive coordinator, even if it's Mike Zimmer's defense. They love the fact that he got a promotion. So I'm just saying, to answer your question, Luke, you have to go case by case, and it just depends on the player. But the three that you brought up, I just explained the situations with those three. So we can go case by case on guys if you want, but it just comes down to each individual situation.
Got you. Yeah. And that sounds like there's not like an overall theme or anything. And it is just like,
not that I can gather. No, I mean, you know, I text enough people and talk to enough people, and I don't have every answer, Luke, but yeah, I mean, I feel pretty confident that it's not like guys are itching to get the heck out of there, put it that way.
That's great to hear. I do want to back up. I have one more question about Mackenzie Alexander, and that is, if Mackenzie Alexander weren't unhappy in the whole Week 17 thing, and you know, if it weren't for that, would the Vikings have offered something competitive with what he ended up with in Cincinnati, or would it have been another one where it's like, minimum, or we let you go?
Well, they offered him more than the minimum, but they didn't offer him $4 million. So it was somewhere in between. I actually think it was probably closer to the $4 million than it was to the minimum. But if you're Mackenzie, you weren't turning down the extra money. You know, it's not like you had all this incentive to come back here, you know, after everything that happened in week 17, you know? So, I mean, what would have been interesting is, Luke, is if the Vikings offered, say, $5 million, if they offered an extra $500,000 to $1 million. Now, the taxes are pretty significant here in Minnesota, but if the Vikings had made a pretty substantial offer that would have trumped Cincinnati's by whatever monetary amount you want to use. I mean, if it was $7 million, I'm sure he would have come back. But let's say 4.6 or 4.8 or 4.4 or 5, then I think it could have become interesting. What does he do then? But the Bengals were the most aggressive. They made the best offer. It was pretty easy for him to take their offer.
Yeah. So I have one more question before I let you go and get back to work. And unless, you know, there's any other stuff you would love to divulge here on this show. But really, I want to talk about like Zimmer and Spielman, because obviously, you know, there's a lot of unrest with the fans. They've been around a while. There hasn't been much success outside of a couple of deep runs. And so people are kind of saying, you know, my patience is running thin with Zimmer and Spielman. But do you have a sense for how the owners feel? Do they feel the same way, or are they going to be like a lot more patient than, you know, what like the Twitterverse thinks?
I'm still working on that, Luke. I don't have that answer. I mean, I know a lot of people are curious, you know, will Zimmer get an extension? Will Spielman get an extension? You know, would those guys give Kirk Cousins the extension they gave him without some sort of verbal assurance that they'll be here beyond 2020? I mean, those are interesting questions to ask. You know, I initially thought, I hosted a show on Score North the day after the 49ers lost, so whatever that Sunday was in mid-January. And I said, my intel at the time was, yeah, I foresee Zimmer getting a contract extension. I don't know if it'll be February, March, April, July. You know, like one of the contract extensions he signed going back a few years was like right before training camp. You know, so that could still happen. But I had Judd Zolgad, a radio co-host of mine, and he used to cover the Vikings beat for the Star Tribune. Judd still is in touch with a lot of NFL personnel. Judd knows what he's talking about. He told me, Luke, you need to check on the possibility of Zimmer not getting a contract extension. And if he doesn't get one, I have a hard time believing that Rick Spielman would get one. But I do know the Wilfs like those guys. There's also something to be said. If you move on from those guys, who are you bringing in? Who is better than those guys? Not to suggest that Mike Zimmer doesn't have warts, you know, but I think all things considered, if we were ranking head coaches, I'd have Zimmer in my top 10. If I had to win a game tomorrow, I trust Mike Zimmer enough. That's just my own opinion. And I think a lot of guys like him, you know, so who are you doing better, you know, than Mike Zimmer? Who are you hiring that can do a better job? I think that's a fair conversation to have. On Rick, I mean, you could easily elevate George Payton, the assistant general manager, who has turned down opportunities to be a GM. Like, if George wanted to be a GM right now, he could be some team's GM, whether it's the Jets or any number of other opportunities that he's passed by, you know, even just interviewing for jobs over the last handful of years. You know, George really likes it here. They work well together, Rick and George. You know, so if you're the Wilfs, that's a pretty good setup to have an assistant GM that is certainly capable of being some other team's GM. Then you've got Rick's experience. Then you've got one of the best capologists in the league. Even if fans don't like what's taken place so far, you know, this offseason, eventually they were going to have to give up on some guys. You know, after they paid Anthony Barr last year, and you give a quarterback the money you gave the quarterback, and I think it was the right move at the time, you know, and we can debate whether the extension made sense, but I think signing Kirk Cousins back in 2018 was the right call. He was their plan A. They executed their plan A. I would have done that, but I think we all knew at some point when you pay the quarterback that much, when you make the decision to bring back Anthony Barr, that eventually you were going to have to pay the bill, you know, so that's what we're seeing right now. But I still think Rob Brzezinski is as good a capologist in the league. Talk to agents, talk to other NFL front office people. They rave about Rob. You know, Rob's wife is influential in the community. Rob's had chances over the years to bail, but this is home. He's not going anywhere. You know, Rob loves what he does. So if you're the Wilfs, that's a pretty good setup. You know, and you know that Mike and Rick work well together, mostly because Rick, you know, Mike can convince Rick on a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, so Mike can get the guys that he wants. You know, so I think those guys are here. You know, if you want to put a gun to my head, I mean, maybe you end up blowing my brain to smithereens in a year. But if you put the gun to my head, Luke, I think Zim and Spielman have some sort of verbal assurance at this point that unless all hell breaks loose in 2020, that there's a really good chance they're back in 2021.
That makes sense considering what you see around the league too when it comes to guys who are like, you know, 9-7, 8-8. Those tend to not get people fired unless there's something else real bad going on. But
yeah, and I don't even know if they're an 8-win roster right now. I mean,
well, you know, yeah, they're in a dire straits.
Yeah, get me back on May 1st when I see what takes place with the draft and kind of the second and third wave of free agency. I mean, I don't want to make any prediction right now, you know, on March 26th. I mean, there's just so much that will still take place with the roster. But
sure.
You know, like right now, I don't know. Is this an 8 or 9 or 10 win roster? You know, we can have that debate too. I'm not quite sure it's 10.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of work to do before they get there.
Yeah, they're probably in that 8 range, but I'd probably bet on 8 or less at this point as opposed to 9 or more. But again, I mean, you know, depending on what takes place with the draft, you know, if they hit home runs at 22 and 25 or use those two picks to move up for a big timer, like they love the Iowa offensive lineman. You know, would they make a move if they could get Wirfs, you know, who may end up being a big timer? I mean, we can debate on that too.
Yeah.
And I'm still curious to see what takes place with Dalvin. Like, you know, Dalvin doesn't have leverage, you know, but I guess, well, I guess what you could say is the leverage he has is the Vikings offense is what without him? You know, what is
Kirk now that Diggs is gone? Yeah, that's kind of a move toward him.
Without Dalvin. And I get it. Alexander Mattison is good. But if Alexander Mattison is the main guy, I don't know about that at this point. You know, but like, look at Melvin Gordon. What leverage exactly did Melvin have with his holdout last year with the Chargers?
And what's going on with the Rams?
Yeah, and Dalvin.
It's tough out there.
Yeah, and he may have to recalibrate, you know, what he thinks he's worth. I mean, right now, running backs are not getting paid. And who the heck knows what the economic landscape will look like, you know, in a few months. I mean, really, I mean, a lot of these owners are losing money, right, with some of their other businesses. You know, a lot of owners may not want to pay up. I mean, the Wilfs are heavy in real estate. You know, I don't know exactly what's going on with their other businesses, but it's possible they're losing some money. So then all of a sudden, do they want to make Dalvin Cook the highest paid running back in the league?
Maybe.
I mean, I would have a hard time believing that, you know, and does that make sense to pay a running back a lot of money? But I know this much, he's the MVP of that offense. You know, I mean, especially now with Stephon Diggs gone,
sure.
I mean, that offense goes as Dalvin Cook goes, you know, so I guess that would be the leverage he has. But I think that will be an interesting situation to keep an eye on as we approach training camp. And the only reason I say training camp, Luke, is at this point, there's no way the Vikings are reporting on April 20th for offseason workouts.
Of course.
You know, we're not looking at this point at OTAs and mini camp May into early June. I just think, you know, being somewhat optimistic, and again, it may be way worse than this, but I just think somewhat optimistically that maybe training camp starts on time in late July.
Yeah, that's obviously going to be a fluid thing. We got to keep watching. But
oh, absolutely.
I will let you get back to work, Darren, because we are over time.
Sounds good, Luke. I appreciate you having me. Stay safe.
Yeah. Where can I find you? What can you plug here? Tell the people, if they don't know where to find you, what they can go look for.
Sure. I'm active on Twitter, DWolfsonKSTP. I work for the ABC affiliate here in the Twin Cities. KSTP.com is the website. A lot of my interviews and stories end up on the website. You can also stream our newscasts on KSTP.com. Then I do some work for the local ESPN radio affiliate, the ESPN radio affiliate in the Twin Cities, which brands itself as Score North. So I end up making, you know, one or two radio appearances a week. I do a podcast for them called The Scoop. I started doing that April of 2016. So we're nearly 300 episodes strong into that. Ooh. I had a recent interview with Blake Cashman, you know, so if you're into some other NFL, you know, talkers, yes. I had a nice talk with Blake reviewing his rookie year with the Jets. And yeah. I have a handful of interviews that even here on March 26th, even going back 1 or 2 months, still have legs. So if you Google, you know, The Scoop podcast, it's available anywhere you get your podcast. So you can find the feed and find all sorts of different interviews you'd want to listen to.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time, Darren.
You got it, Luke. Take it easy. Thanks for having me.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Locked On Vikings. I will see you all next week. Sorry this one came out a little late, but that's when Darren could record, so I wanted to make sure I got that to you before all the information he gave me got stale. We will talk again on Monday about everything that happens over the weekend. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL, shows on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. You can find this show anywhere you find your favorite shows or ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings to go right to the most recent episode. See y'all next week, and as always, Skol.